Welcome to For Real Conversations, the podcast discussing the heartwarming and sometimes challenging world of life with our pets. I'm Lauren, a clinical animal behaviourist, and I'm going to embark on a journey to have honest conversations, discuss realities, and share stories of the joy, love, occasional chaos, and let's be honest, sometimes stress and anxiety that our fairy friends bring into our lives. When it comes to our pets, the conversations here are for real. Hello, in today's episode of For Real Conversations, I'm chatting with Katie, who you can find on Instagram as The Wandering Spaniel. Katie and I are chatting all about her experiences so far with her Cocker Spaniel, Sooty. We chat about how Sooty has helped her overcome mental health challenges, how she keeps her motivated to get outside no matter what the weather, and how together they're developing their bond through the canine sport of Canicross. We chat all about goal setting, and Katie shares her tips on how to make sure you can achieve your goals. She also talks openly and honestly about her experiences with Sooty so far. So let's get into the episode. So hi, Katie. I would love to hear some more about your journey with Sooty and how she's helped you with your mental health and really helped you to stay positive.
Yeah. So if I start with kind of like through my life, I've never been able to get a dog just because of allergies, family allergies and stuff. And then it was just when I finally managed to buy my own flat, I had a chance to kind of have my own dog. And I was like, right, I'm going to go get one. And I did so much research, and through my life, I've like done cycling, running. I've done some pretty epic, awesome stuff in my time, like ride across Britain both ways, horizontally and vertically, and, wow, and things like that. And I just wanted a dog that's going to keep up with me.
Spaniel's a good choice.
Yeah, Spaniel's definitely a good choice. Yeah, she's very chaotic, actually. She's just been spayed this last week, so she is having a downturn at the moment. But yeah, so yeah, Sooty was basically a really good reason. Like, over since college, I've suffered on and off with like depression and anxiety for the last 10 years. So it was hugely important. And a lot of people keep saying, oh, when you get a therapy dog? And I'm like, well, I can't because my family are allergic. And so I had to find different coping mechanisms and stuff. And now I have her, it gives me a reason. So this is TMI, but you know, sometimes when I'll get into SAD and stuff through winter and stuff, I just can't get out of bed. And having a dog literally gives you a reason to get up. Like, you need, it's like a responsibility. It's like having a child.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, I got her in the end, and it's been life changing. Apart from, you know, the sleepless nights for the first 3 months and all the accidents. I need a new carpet and I still haven't replaced it. But other than that, come with the highs and the lows, it's been great. And I was just so eager to get Sooty into all my activities. And yeah, the first, like, I met my friend Kerry in the summer, and she did Canticross and she got me into it. So I was thinking, oh, like, what's that about? And actually, it's not actually a lot, you know, there's not too much impact on the dog. And at the same time, if you've got the fitness to keep up with your dog, then it's a perfect activity for bonding, because I wasn't that person who really wanted to do garden dog training. You know, wasn't on top of my list, because at the moment in time, I was like, guns going off, hunts, it's not my kind of thing. And having a spaniel was just like so bouncy and full of energy. I was just like, right, I need that outlet and I need to be able to do something really fun for her. So yeah, so I've started Canticross. First of all, it started off with me or her with her on a two meter long line, not long line, a lead in my hand, yeah. And with a spaniel, she'd go, whoa. Off she goes. So that didn't work. I tried a long line, attaching it around my waist. That did not work either with a spaniel, because she went flying off and I ripped many things off me. I don't want to know how much money I've wasted on things that. So I thought, right, it's time to invest in a proper Canticross harness and things. And they're so expensive, but I take that, and it's absolutely been a brilliant asset. Like, I go out every day, and as soon as I grab, start grabbing her harness, she's like, oh, take me out. She's hopping on the sofa. She's loving it. So it's the best thing. Yeah. So
really interesting. I like how honest you've been there about it, sort of starting off and learning as you go. Because I think sometimes it's so easy to overthink things, isn't it? And worry about not having the right equipment or not knowing where to start. But sometimes actually just getting stuck in is the best way.
Yeah. Exactly. Just getting stuck in and trying. And I'm quite baffled of how Canticross isn't more well known. And I only discovered it through the fact that I was like, oh, that looks more comfortable what I'm doing right now kind of thing.
So, I'm just saying, it's not something I come across that much, actually. Yeah, it's interesting. I like what you said about it being an alternative to gun dog work, because I think that's quite interesting, because I think a lot of people now like spaniels as pet dogs. And they automatically think of gun dog training. But actually, there's lots of other activities to get involved in as well.
Exactly. The only trouble is with any dog, as soon as you start associating that harness with the fact that she's got a pull, you take wins and losses, because obviously in the daytime when you want to walk, you can't use a harness anymore.
On that note, you've obviously... You're finding your way, which is really great. And I think I noticed on a recent post you mentioned about some goals you have to get into hiking, is it?
Yeah, that was yesterday. So we want to change things up a bit, because I love hiking. And like previously, unfortunately, me and my partner aren't together anymore. Well, we loved hiking and I still love it. Like, I've been up Helvellyn, I've done some scary stuff. Yeah, like through the lakes, the Langdale Parks, they're so beautiful. And just like, I'm a mountain girl, I'm not a beach girl. Like, and it's quite good because Sissy would be off chasing seagulls down the beach. But that's another use of a Canticross harness. You can use it for that as well, because it's good for your back. Yeah, so we've got lots of other goals coming up as well. So I don't want it to just be mixed with that.
I think you said in that post about the bird chasing and having to overcome that as a bit of a training challenge. Yeah. So how are you staying motivated to reach that goal, essentially, to be able to achieve that?
Well, I'm planning on taking her on a few trips and stuff. And, you have to like take different steps and precautions with going around cattle. I want to expose her to more. I'm quite lucky, really. I'm actually going full time for a few months with my new job, because I need to learn more and stuff. So it's an opportunity. I've been doing some daycare shopping, which is like finding nursery for your dog. There was a short list of like many people. There was a couple of like farms. So I was really tempted by that, because that's really good exposure. Only thing is, me trusting her off lead with a load of stuff she's not really had exposure to, it's quite high risk. So we found a lovely lady down the road who's got a pen of geese and chickens. So that'll be good exposure for kind of birds, but she can't get to them at all. They are fenced yay high. They're a comfortable jumping height. So we're safe. But yeah, that's going to be a start of the exposure, and she's going to do that 2 days a week. We'll progress up, and then I'm going to take her camping, which we're staying on a farm. But I've got obviously a long line and some like ground anchors. That's it.
Yeah.
So getting that in there, and she can get up really close to the sheep where she wants. She's a lovely, friendly dog, so she won't do anything dodgy or weird or aggressive, because she's not an aggressive dog. So yeah, and then also being around other dogs. Interacting my friend Kerry, who I talked about earlier, and we're going camping. So we've got actually a massive trip with us girls and loads of dogs. So if she sees other dogs being nice, she might copy and think, oh, well, actually, this is all right. I don't need to bother chasing them, because they're already there and that dog trusts it. I might as well trust it too. Kind of, you've got to get it all psychologically in a dog's head.
It's definitely the way forward, I think, isn't it? And it's useful to set those goals out, and as long as you've got that flexibility, which it sounds like you're thinking about different scenarios and how they might pan out, which is really good.
Yeah.
And so how do you find the goal setting experience? Because sometimes it can be a bit overwhelming, can't it? When you set these goals for yourself and challenges crop up.
Yeah.
How do you find dealing with that and staying motivated?
So I've been through quite like, because obviously I run my own business on the side as well. You know, it's been quite educational over the last year. Like you, like through school, you'll go through like, oh, time to set your goals for things. And it's very different. You have to do them within a month and it's, oh, and then at work, you've got your probation review. That's a time-constrained review. And the idea is you just take that time away. And there's a lot of books that say just write, instead of having big goals with a time frame, it's quite hard to stick to. And then you panic and then you're like, oh, I didn't do it. But if you take away the time constraint and break that goal down to tiny weeny goals, like for say, like I would love to go, like my end goal would be to go to Canada with City. It'd be a bit dodgy with how we fly, but I need her to be like thoroughly trained, used to being around animals, any kind of animals, used to birds, and being a very accurate, very well-drilled dog. She's quite young, so it's quite a lot to ask for. So you break that down into loads of tiny, mini goals. So my next goal is to just get her around other animals, like those hens and chickens in that pen, like little things like that. And then working up, I'm going to send her on some more, like a mini gun dog training session, because she needs a bit more, you know, patience assessing next to me.
Yeah.
Well, oh, there's a bird there and there's you. Oh, I'm going that way. So,
the patience isn't always a spaniel's strong point, is it?
No.
Yeah.
That's on the list as a mini goal. And then when we get past that, it was, I started it off with some adolescence training for her back in September. And she was really good at that and just doing little things and often. And for myself as well, like at the moment, I whenever I finish a goal, I go through like, oh, what do I do? So I need to set in some more goals. Like I've learned my lessons through RAB. I went into a proper lull after that and I just didn't know what I was going to do next. Because it's such a big bus, you do 980 miles in 9 days. It's really hard to get out of that. So I straight away thought, right, I'm going to do some racing. So this is way back in the day before City. So if you keep doing little minor goals, you're okay. I've just learned my lessons. Big goals don't stick. So yeah. So in terms of hiking, I've just broken that down to like, oh, I'm going to Yorkshire. I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to do this hike at this place. It really helps you visualize your goals. And when you visualize goals, it's way better because you're definitely going to stick to it if it's in your head. whereas I can't physically visualize where I am, right? Like where I'm going to be in 5 years, what's going to be with City. I physically can't get that in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a really interesting concept about visualization. Yeah, I hadn't really thought of it like that. It must be quite a daunting concept, but I like the idea of building up gradually and having those smaller goals to reach that long-term goal, definitely. And so how do you find that Canicross affects City? Because obviously we've touched on Spaniels being energetic dogs that do need an outlet for that craziness and energy. So how do you find that Canicross and being able to do that together has impacted her life and your relationship together?
I think it's really close to our bond because I don't know whether it's a general dog thing, but they seem to be very male orientated and seem to gravitate. And I was finding it quite hard in the summer where I was really struggling with the training because she would gravitate more to my partner. It's a really weird relationship thing. It didn't affect our relationship at all, but it was one of those things where I really want that bond. I really, really do. And it was me and City's kind of one thing we did at the weekends. I was a sole runner. My partner was then jealous because I could run. He can't run. So it's one of those things where it really strengthened our bond and just being able to train. And just her to learn a bit more about Canicross, like all the stopping, starting, slowing down in mud is an essential command. But yeah, it's really been beneficial for both of us. Definitely, she's a lot happier. I I don't know whether that's very noticeable with running, but she loves it. I do let her off. She's not on a lead all the time over 6 miles. Like, I have to give her freedom because she does have a lot of energy.
Yeah. No, it's interesting about the bond and how you felt she gravitated more to your partner. I think it is really useful to have something to focus on if you feel like that bond isn't quite where you want it to be for whatever reason, to have something to really put your efforts in together. Because there is so many opportunities out there, aren't there? It's just finding what works for
what fits into a lifestyle.
Us as an individual, really. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and that's an interesting point. Yeah, it's interesting as well how you said that Canicross came to you quite out of the blue. So was it your friend you mentioned got you into
it? Yeah, my friend.
So how did you, when you first got to city, did you have specific things that you wanted to do and then Canicross came up and changed your path? Or was it that you were kind of very flexible in how you wanted to?
No, I never really thought of it like that, because I just wanted a lovely companion that could keep up with me, and we just go for runs. That's all I envisioned, really. And yeah, originally I would, you know, I'm also a big dog person, so I love German Shepherds. I love all the big dogs. I love Rottweilers because they are absolutely soppy big dogs. Things like that. And then I was just looking around and stuff, and then my auntie suggested getting Cockapoo. I thought, will the cockapoo keep up with me? Got my poodle in it. It's a little bit, I don't know, whoever owns a cockapoo, I don't want to offend anyone, but very, the poodle side is very tame and very chilled and very, you know, not as active.
Yeah. But yeah. So active was the key thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Active, high energy was the key. So I was looking around and stuff, and Cocker Spaniel came up, which was lovely. I went to go see a litter, and unfortunately, when you do see a litter, you're bound to come home secured as puppy. But the puppy we went to see, unfortunately, was curled up in a corner, bless it, and did not want to know. And then Sissy and her brother are literally like twins, and her brother came bounding up. But unfortunately, he'd been taken already, and I wanted to preferred having a female dog. The preference, I think, was the fact that you take seasons over a very, very like high energy, very scent driven, sexualized dog, whereas females aren't so much like that. So take hand in hand whatever you choose.
Yeah.
So we went for her because she was the next one to bound up, just fell asleep in my lap. What, I'm having her.
It's hard, isn't it, when you go and visit them to then, once you meet them, to they just kind of make that decision for you, don't they?
They were brilliant, but for my eyes, I just want, like, the puppy was lovely and everything, but as much as, you know, puppies are cute and stuff, I wanted an adult dog that I could hurry up and go out with, because I've been constrained to like a 5 minute walk, 10 minute walk for quite a few months, and that was very slow for me, so I wanted it to speed up quite quickly. But and puppy bones and everything, it's hard to stop them from jumping and stuff. So yeah, as soon as I possibly could, it was a year old. I think I did it a bit early, probably about 11-10 months, and we started using the Canticross harness and going out for runs together. So not long ones, the short ones, and then built her up, and now she's quite a muscle house when it comes to pulley.
So how's she coping at the moment? She mentioned she's just been spayed.
Not very well. first day she came back, she wouldn't get out of the car. I couldn't get out of the car. It took me half hour to try and get her out of the car because she still weighs 13 kilos. The next day, literally, I've never had an operation in my life, like, kind of vibe, but just like, stop jumping. It's very hard.
Yeah.
And you're from jumping. Trust me. God, it was a nightmare. And when you're just like one of those wind up toys, you'll go, keep going, keep it. You know, when it's really tight, like a little car, and it really needs to take off. And that's the start of Zoomies, and you have to hold her down.
I think it's hard with any dog when they have to be on rest for a period of time, let alone dogs like spaniels when they're so used to being out and doing things and having a release for their energy. So how are you How are you coping finding ways to keep her sane?
It's been okay. A lot's obviously happened this week. So I've actually felt it more, I think, because I haven't been out. So because I've had to stay home a lot, I don't feel trapped. Wrong words for it, but I feel no energy really at the moment. So I've been trying to get out where I can, although today was pouring with rain where I am. So yeah, as soon as we can get out is hugely important. Like my parents had to babysit, so she wouldn't jump out because she can't be left alone at the moment. And they said, right, you go out for a run, Casey, you're going. It's okay. So it's hugely important to get outside. I didn't realize how much everything affected me until we just stopped going out together. So it's been a whirlwind.
That's a really interesting point.
Well,
yeah, no, I really like that point because it's often quite easy to focus on what's going on for them, isn't it? And forget the impact that it's actually having on us. And I think you're right. When you're used to having that reason to get out on a daily basis and then suddenly you don't have that motivation or need to do it, it can be really challenging. And when the weather's rubbish, like it has been, feels like constantly at the moment, It's then really challenging because that in itself often is a reason just not to get out and about, isn't it? When the weather's grim outside. But I think dogs are amazing for just giving that motivation and a need to get outside because they need to, they often don't care about the weather, do they? And it's that need to get out and about with them, which is the mental health aspect is just hugely beneficial, like you said.
Absolutely. And one thing I never noticed this, but I was on, so back in 2020, I think it was well into lockdown. In fact, it was in one of the periods we were almost released. I can't remember, but I got signed off work for anxiety and depression. And it was just because of a lull of doing, having no work to do at work. And then it kicked off and something just triggered me. So I went into depression and I went on antidepressants and stuff. So then I didn't realize how long I was on them for. I was on them for a good 3 years. And it was one of those things where I couldn't find the right moment to come off. Anyway, I don't know why. It was a distraction maybe through September last year and stuff. And I forgot to take them. And then I realized I've been a month without them. But I was like, I feel fine. What was this about? And then I just never went back. So
wow.
The dog has made such a weird, I knew it would make an effect, but I didn't realize they were strong ones as well. I didn't realize how much effect it would be. And it's just, they're so important. And for any animal, if you have a cat, having that cat there, it's quite nice because it's got feelings. It loves you and stuff like that. It's one of those things where they give you unconditional love no matter what. And I think it's having that all the time instead of a human that can talk. It's one of those things. Yeah.
Yeah, that reason to get up and do things, definitely. She's made a huge mark on you and had such a positive effect, which is amazing. And so if someone's in a similar situation to what you were and they're debating potentially getting a puppy and they're just not quite sure whether to do it, whether they can manage it, whether they'll be able to cope in the same way, what advice would you give them to go forwards?
So obviously you have to be practical about the whole thing. Dogs are expensive. City costs me almost £400 a month in daycare. So make sure your lifestyle can still have it. For example, I did work hybrid and a little bit of homework, a little bit of office work, and make sure you plan. Obviously puppyhood's the worst. Well, not the worst. It's lovely, it's a lovely experience. But yeah, the puppyhood, be prepared to be have a mini paternity leave. Make sure you plan your time off work and stuff, and make sure affordability and plan, and make sure you understand the breed you're buying And if, like me, you want an active dog, the Cocker Spaniel is a brilliant, absolutely brilliant dog. If you want an active light show, make sure you choose a working. Working will keep out, whereas a show isn't, by my friend's experience, as active, for sure. So yeah, I'd 100% go for it. Like, if that's all, you've ticked all those boxes and you're ready, just go for it. Like, that, I don't think there's any right time. Maybe, you know, potentially think about weather as well. It's getting hotter every year in the summer. I've got a cooling mat. So, you know, if, we'll say, you're leaving your dog at home as well, just bear in mind that. And when you buy a puppy as well, not saying buy and don't buy a puppy in the summer, but it was very easy transition, me buying Sooty in winter. So I could, like, we were indoor most of the time anyway with Sooty when she couldn't go out. So you always have that, the you know, 12-week period. They can't go outside before their final jabs.
That's some really good advice. And I love the honesty about the puppy period, because I think there's, well, when you get a puppy, it's so exciting, isn't it? And it's easy to get caught up in that, but it can be a tough time. I've had someone say to me recently that they actually found having a puppy harder than having a child, which I thought was really interesting.
Even though they're a baby without a nappy, you know, it's one of those things you're just going to have to take it. And I live in a flat, so I had the worst of it. So I couldn't take her outside into a garden or so forth. So it was one of those things I'm just going to have to grin and bear it. And the amount of people that have made mistakes and just given up on their dog after, what was it, 18 weeks because they couldn't handle puppies. Like, just if you can get through that phase and you're ready for it, just buy tons of like little, like, you don't even need to buy tons, just be on it with like toilet training from the start. Don't ever let that go and just do training every day. And if you can be prepared to put aside that time, you're ready for a dog.
Yeah, that's another interesting point, definitely, about the time aspect. And yeah, that's interesting about the flat, because that's quite a big hurdle in terms of toilet training. Yeah. And definitely if you can get through challenges like that. And I think, like you said, it sounds quite, well, it feels intense at the time, doesn't it? But it does, it does pass and it does get easier. And yeah, I think you've definitely given some really good advice about goal setting and just taking things one step at a time. So trying not to let the situation become overwhelming and not to look too far into the future and to that end goal, and actually just break it down and take it one step at a time. Yeah. But no, that's been really interesting to hear your story with Sooty, and I'm glad to hear she's had such a positive impact on you. And that is a very, I'm loving your goal to get to Canada. That is just amazing. I think that is
awesome. The other thing we have to work out is like visas and transport. Like, that's the thing. I'd love to take Sooty and stuff with it. So yeah, my friend's having a bit of a like, it's going to be quarantined for quite a few like weeks. It seems like with Australia she's going to. So yeah, it seems very much a very tough experience. So yeah, hopefully, I think they're lowering quarantine periods to only a few days now. So hopefully it should be okay. So yeah.
Yeah,
Canada's always been on this. I've never been able to go ever. And I think I just need to, put it in my goal, do the little things, work my way up, and I'll be there.
Definitely. Well, fingers crossed you get that.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for Real Conversations. I'd love to learn more about the experiences you've had with your pets. So message me on social media or drop me an email to let me know what conversations you want to hear. If you'd like to learn more about me and my dog or cat behaviour support options, you can head to my website, wagandpairpetbehaviour.co.uk. I'll be back soon to continue these for real and honest conversations. So until next time, remember, it's okay to take things one paw at a time.